I'm going to read from Psalm 126. It's not a long psalm. It's a psalm that I read a few months back in my own congregation and prepared a message from it. And then the last couple days before today, started thinking about what I had written and how it might need a little different framework. And so that's what happens on a week like the week we've just had. This is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Psalm 126, a song of ascents, a song that the Israelites sang, repeated, as they made their way up to Jerusalem. Well, as you may have noticed, there was no message for the children this morning. I began thinking about it last night, too, and you know, given what's been going on, it seemed more appropriate to actually say that this week there's a message from the children. It's been an eventful week in Canada, thinking about and wrestling with and lamenting the beyond horrible ugliness of unmarked graves and disposable children, and disdain for the full dignity of indigenous images of God that went on for well over 100 years. And I began to wonder how ironically the message for today was titled "The Courage to Hope," and I began to wonder how in the world do these folks gain the courage to hope? And you know, that's a big picture dynamic for our nation that simply cannot be escaped. There's no easy way out of the mess. The challenge will be finding and forging a way through with all the grief and loss and baggage and with the range of perspective that all of us have, right, from shame and care all the way to impatience and indifference. There's not a way out of these things. There's just a way through. And you know, that's not just the case for big picture traumas like this. It's true for all kinds of challenges. In your neck of the woods and mine, there may be any number of things going on. And when I read through your church bulletin and listened this morning again to the announcement, there's a lot of people dealing with a lot of things, right? Any number of stresses and frictions and worries and hurts, they can be major, they can be minor. A word that is coming up more frequently today is the word grumpy. It's not exactly a technical word. It's not exactly a medically sophisticated kind of word, but that's the word that's been bubbling up these last weeks. I've been hearing it, grumpy, hearing it from pastors when they speak about life in their churches. Everybody's grumpier. And as we get closer to hopefully the end of this pandemic stuff, everybody's getting grumpier. And it's not just people in churches, it's people all around us. A year and 3 months into COVID and the yo-yo of more restrictions, less restrictions, vaccines, variants, we want our government to clamp down more severely. We want our government to let things open up. You can hear it all, right? There's resistance, there's defiance. There's individual rights versus communal responsibility. There's freedom marches, all this stuff. and it's exhausting. We're exhausted. We've only been doing this for 15 months, 1 year and a little bit. This isn't 100 plus years. It's a short little while, really, but it's exhausting. So many different opinions and perspectives, and there's so much at stake, right? There's so much, there's too much going on. And there's so many, there are too many unknowns. Economy is really important, but it's not everything. Science is really valuable and important, but it's not God. Oh man, is there a way through this crazy time that we're in? And what's it going to look like if we get through, when we get through? Will office buildings bustle again, or will the work from home plan become the new normal? What's school going to be like? In class, online, a little of both? What's church life going to look like? Will people come back? How many will come back? Are we going to sing and blow the rafters up again? Or what? 1,000 questions and unknowns. And the general rule of thumb that Scripture gives us again and again and again is that there is not an easy way out of things. There's a way through. A way through. And so today we read a Psalm 126. Not because that psalm gives us a silver bullet to fix things, but because this is a psalm that knows about hard times. This is a psalm that knows about the wondering we do and the wrestling we do. This is a psalm that knows what it is to be God's people, what it is to be Israel. This is a psalm that knows what it means to wrestle with faith. And not just with faith, but with God Himself. If we truly believe what we say we believe, and if God really is God, then what difference is that going to make? How is that going to impact my posture in life? How is that going to impact my praying? How is that going to impact my practices in life? Well, Psalm 126 begins with a memory. A memory of the day that God's people returned home. It was a happy day. In fact, it was an ecstatic day. It was one of those pinch me, tell me it's not a dream kind of day. Because for 70 years, we're talking three generations, 70 years, they had been away in limbo. Right? They lived life in a land where God was not worshipped, not respected, not followed. There was a cloud hanging over their heads the whole time. They were wondering, they were doubting, they were hoping. Would God remember them? Would the faith story that their people held on to, would it hold true? Or should they just adapt to the culture, get used to it, get over it? I mean, 70 years is a long time. Will God keep His promises? Yes. No. Maybe. Only God knows. And He's not telling us much, it seems. Exile was long. And exile was hard, and it was lonely. But they remembered that the day came. And there they were. This is how the psalm starts. There they were marching back into Zion. They were heading home again. The land of promise. The land of milk and honey. The land of milk and honey. We're home. Laughing, dancing, singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, right? And all that is within me, praise His holy name. He has done great things. And that was a day, that the return to Zion day, that return to Jerusalem, that was a day they marked on their calendars. It was a red letter day, a banner day, a day they remembered forever. In fact, it wasn't just the Israelites who remembered that day. The nations, says the psalm, they talked about it as well. I'm talking Philistines and Babylonians and Syrians and Lebanese and Egyptians. They all remembered that day, which is something. But mountaintops never last, do they? Always, it seems, there are reality checks. And, you know, new crises develop, new ruts develop, new valleys in which we wallow and stare at hills that need climbing. New droughts develop that thirst for refreshing. And then what? Then God's people think back. And they say, remember when? Remember when it was so amazingly good that day? Do you remember how God delivered us? Do you remember the joy, the singing, the dancing? And remembering that wonderful day would make it all come alive again. And that's the beautiful thing, but there was also this. It would spark wistfulness. If only it could have stayed that good. What God did that one time, how in the world did we get away from that? How did we regress? Why does it have to be so hard again? Why is it that when things finally get together and you have this grand, really good moment, why is it the next thing you know, you're feeling desperate again, helpless again, and you're thinking, what? Will things change? Will things work out? Will light overcome darkness? Right? Will God remember us? Will God remember me? And the doubts come back, the hopes come back, and the fears. Yes, God will. No, He won't. Maybe. God knows, but He sure isn't saying too much about it. So, remembering helps it come alive again. But remembering can make us wistful for the way it was. And sometimes remembering wistfully can trap us into wishing that it was yesterday again. But Psalm 26 doesn't stop there. It adds another layer. And pretty soon we learn that this remembering, this memory and going to the past actually has a second function, which is to help us think about the future. It inspires a faith-filled prayer, right? So we're not just looking back now, we're also looking forward. And the psalm writer says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the desert, right? Because they knew that when the rain falls and they would see it every year again, they would see how this dry riverbed would suddenly be a surging stream. A wadi would become a, what do you know? There's water here. And they said, you've done it before, Lord, do it again. Right? Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy and carrying sheaves. There's some terrific confidence in those words. Will reap, will return with songs of joy. There will be a harvest. So the psalm writer, right, on his way up to Jerusalem to worship, the psalm writer is remembering the story of God, God's promises and God's acts. And here's the important piece. The psalm writer believes that the story of God and His people, that story is still in force. It's still in operation. God and His people, that story is still in business, is still intact. And the psalm writer is feeling it. He's depending on it. He's trusting it. And we need to hear the comfort of God's word in that. We need to hear the comfort as parents, for example, sowing seeds, often in tears, wondering, hoping, doubting, second-guessing. There is hope for a harvest. We need to hear the comfort as those who are in relationship, husbands, wives, remembering how good it once was between us. But now it's lonely, a drought, a distance. Will it ever? There's a congregation and a pastor wondering, will this restore? Will this return? What's it going to look like? These are the days when there are giants in the land named Amazon and Apple and Google and Facebook and others. These are the days of COVID, that giant among the viruses. These are the days of division. Polarization, we call it. The days when right wings and left wings are so far apart they forget they're attached to the same bird. Will we return to some kind of normal? Yes? No? Maybe? God knows. Psalm 126 acknowledges our tears. And it acknowledges how long the desert stretches can seem, even years long of waiting. And Psalm 126 acknowledges the hard labor and the courage that sowing seeds can take. But the psalm reaches back into the past and the memory of what God's done, celebrates that, and then faces the future. And a miracle of yesterday becomes the measure for tomorrow. A dry place, it treats as a potential river. And hard work and good seed as the way towards a harvest. This is a psalm that teaches us how to pray and how to live when we are in those hard times, in those long in-between times as people. Young, old, in-between. Parents, spouses, friends, as church members, as children of God. This psalm writer, he harked back and anchored his thinking and believing and practice in the return from exile. We look back and anchor our thinking and believing and longing and trusting and praying and all the rest of it in the coming of Jesus, the story of Bethlehem and Calvary. The story of resurrection of graves being opened and undone. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which all teaches us that the first fruits of the harvest are in and harvest is assured. That's the big picture, right? That's the giant frame, the story of Jesus. Its power and its comfort is that we may also then zoom into our own situations. Whatever they happen to be, whoever you happen to be, and wrap our worries and our pain and our longing and our need within the arms of the God who keeps promises, whose power and heart are still in operation, the God who is still in business, still intact. The challenges of desert, of unknowns, of need, of dealing with overwhelming pain or trauma or hurt. These challenges are never to be brushed aside, avoided, or even resented, because they are the stuff which forces us to wrestle with what we believe and ultimately force us to wrestle with God Himself. That's who Israelites are. That's who we are. Israelites are wrestlers. They are people who hang on to what God has done, and they keep on hanging on to God for what He will yet do. They're like Jacob, remember, They will not let go of God until and unless He blesses. We never know when. And we never know how. We just trust that He will. And so may your posture in these days of looking in a Canadian mirror with Indigenous eyes, may your prayers in this season of COVID, and may your practices in this culture bear witness to the grace and the truth of the God whose actions afford us the courage to hope. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, may your Holy Spirit find a way to encourage us when streams are dry, when the desert reality is real. Bless us with the courage to hope because we trust that you and your way with us and this world is the story that is intact and most powerful and most real yet today. And bless us so that we may represent you well in this world, with small problems, with big ones, with hugely overwhelming ones. We aim, Lord, to walk with you, to be encouraged and held by you. And so hear our prayer. We speak in Jesus' name. Hear us for his sake. Amen.